You're listening to PodMini.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first and hopefully not last episode of the Not Your Mother's Goose podcast, home of retold fairy tales and news you definitely can't use. I'm Topher Goggin. I have no idea how you've managed to find yourself here, but now that you've arrived, I sure as hell hope you'll stay, and with any luck, you'll get a few laughs before you go. So what exactly is this show? Well, I suppose you could consider it a chance to revisit all the fairy tales and nursery rhymes from your childhood. The difference is that now there's going to be a healthy dose of sarcasm thrown in, because it turns out that most of these characters are kind of colossal morons. I also want to go over what you're not going to find here. If you've come looking for profound commentary on the deep meaning of The Princess and the Pea, this might not be the place for you. On the other hand, if you're looking for some immature made-up news headlines like Rapunzel gets bikini wax, welcome to the neighborhood. But the truth is, if you think about it, refreshing your memory on this stuff actually could be useful. For instance, a well-read parent will recognize something is up when their high schooler tries to sneak sleeping booty into the Netflix queue. Same thing is true if you run across a show called The Hickory Dickory Dock. I don't think you're going to find any mice running up clocks in that one. The problem is, if you want to brush up, it's not like you can just go major in fairy tale studies at Ohio State. After all, only the football players can do that. But this show's going to be the next best thing. I personally have conducted years of painstaking research to bring you the most precise, detailed reference material possible. By which I mean I Googled some stuff, and when in doubt have relied on the corresponding Disney movie. What I am going to do, though, is tell it to you straight. There will be no more acting like the little red hen is some sort of hero just because she managed to bake one whole loaf of bread without assistance. Same thing goes for this so-called Prince Charming chap. Charming, I mean, people act like this guy's Brad Pitt, but he's out two-time in Cinderella with Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Taylor Swift. Okay, maybe not Taylor, but she'd just write a song about it anyway. Charming schmarming, come on, give me a break. But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some story time, some other stuff like breaking fairy tale news, maybe some music, a variety of totally made up sponsors to pay the bills. So grab a seat, kick off those pane in the glass slippers, and let's have a good time. We'll start things off with one of the classic tales of how to get rich without really trying and only a modest risk of death, one that I'm pretty sure is still taught in all of the reputable MBA programs today. I'm speaking, of course, of Jack and the Beanstalk. Demonstrating a level of business sense normally reserved for dim-witted gophers and members of the Cleveland Browns front office, a poor English farm boy named Jack goes to the market and trades his family's last cow for a handful of allegedly magic beans. Now, when he comes home and tells his mom about his shrewd wheeling and dealing, well, let's just say that mama's a little less than thrilled. And after taking a moment to write Jack out of the will, she chucks the beans out the window in frustration. Shockingly, however, the magical legumes turn out to work as advertised. Jack and his mom wake up the next morning to find a massive beanstalk has sprouted in their yard like some sort of mutant dandelion. Now, despite his mother's suggestion to just bust out the weed whacker and take care of the thing, Jack actually knows better. Thanks to his extensive background playing Super Mario Brothers as a kid, he understands that when you encounter a beanstalk going up into the clouds, the correct action is to immediately climb it. So up he goes, but instead of being able to warp to World 8, Jack runs headlong into a pissy, hungry giant who is soon fee-fi-fo-fumming upon discovery of his unexpected visitor. Now, many people faced with a situation like this would probably turn around and walk away. To be fair, others might turn around and run like hell. But not our Jack. He opts for choice 3, let's rob this giant that is trying to eat you. With some covert assistance from Jumbo's wife, Jack makes off with a couple of sacks of gold, a hen that lays golden eggs, and the giant's prized collection of dryer lint. And rather than stop there, Jack makes one final trip up the beanstalk, completing the heist by hauling off with a Magikarp that plays its own songs. Because those are obviously in high demand these days. It turns out, though, that this particular harp also speaks. I mean, why not? And soon, it ends up calling out to the giant, asking to be rescued. Dragging this loudmouth harp along, Jack frantically clambers down the beanstalk with the giant in hot pursuit. I'm fairly certain that clambering is the only internationally approved method of going down a beanstalk, though that's kind of beside the point. Upon reaching the bottom, Jack busts out an axe and chops the stalk to the ground. The giant tumbles to his death, leaving behind a big asshole. Not to be confused with a big asshole. Danger now averted, Jack returns to everyday life taking care of his mother. He also snags himself a sugar mama by marrying the giant's wife, and they make millions going on QVC to sell golden egg-laying hens and singing harps. They do keep the dryer lint for themselves, though, as after all, you never know when the Guinness Book of Records might come calling. When we come back, it's time to check the news. Welcome to the news, powered by NYMGNBC. Let's check today's headlines. Old MacDonald struggles on Wheel of Fortune after only buying vowels. Girlfriend dumps Captain Hook, saying, "It's not you, it's Smee." And our lead story tonight, Mary Poppins wins Nobel Prize. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences delivered a stunning announcement yesterday, awarding this year's Nobel Prize for Physics to Mary Poppins. A Nobel spokesman stated, "Mary Poppins has revolutionized how we think about scientific possibility. From flying with just an umbrella to creating the free-range carousel horse, she's taken the world of physics to places Newton and Einstein would have believed impossible. Plus, have you seen how much crap she can stuff in a garment bag?" The practically perfect Poppins accepted the award with a spoonful of humility, saying that longtime associate Bert Swiffer deserved much of the credit. Less gracious, however, was Rumpelstiltskin, who tweeted that his advancements in the field of straw-to-gold conversion had been robbed out of the Nobel in economics. We'll be back with more after this word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben Chaffee. I'm not a medical doctor, but if you've got a youngster at home like I do, you know the struggles of toilet training. Fortunately, there's an answer, a magical series of books to help your child through this rite of passage. Not from J.K. Rowling. It's the new Harry Potty series. Follow Harry deep into the bowels of Hogwarts Castle to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom, where he'll show your toddler how to whip out the magic wand and cast a spell.
Expecto Patronum!
Harry Potty is joined by all his friends, including Professor Dumbledore, Neville Long and Soggybottom, and of course, Ron Squeezley. Harry's first book, Harry Potty and the Water Closet of Secrets, exploded on the bestseller lists. You'll want to look out for number two, Harry Potty and the Sorcerer's Kidney Stones, passing into stores soon. And now, even older readers can join the movement, learning Harry's recipes for regularity in Harry Potty and the Hemorrhoids of Fire. So, if someone in your life needs help learning to manage their potions, step out of the stall and head to the bookstore and pick up your copy of Harry Potty today.
Warning, Harry Potty is in no way responsible if your child leaves that which shall not be named, or you know what, on the bathroom floor.
Welcome back. First of all, a big thank you to Ben Chaffee for his help with Harry Potty. He really is a doctor, and he helped with writing that ad. It's debatable whether he actually will want credit for that, but now he's got it. Now back to the news. Here are some more stories we're following. Costco staff nervous as Rapunzel heads toward shampoo aisle. Out of ideas, Disney announces Alice in Greenland will go straight to Disney Plus. Gingerbread man to host fundraiser. A longtime local celebrity and philanthropist, the Gingerbread Man announced yesterday that he will host a fundraiser next month to fund prosthetic limbs for local amputees. "Helping amputees is a cause near and dear to my heart, for obvious reasons," he wrote in an Instagram post announcing his plans. "Nearly every member of my family has lost an arm, leg, or head along the way, and I'm very excited to have an opportunity to give back. He went on to indicate that no decision has been made yet as to what kind of fundraiser he'll hold, but admitted it was safe to assume that it won't be a bake sale. The tortoise and the hare. So, I'm kind of torn about how I feel about this story. Because on the one hand, anyone who has ever seen me try to, say, run to first base, or if you happen to come to my middle school field day, you know that I basically am the tortoise. He is my people. He and I would be battling it out on the playground to see who's the last one picked for the basketball game. But on the other hand, there are a few things in this world that I like more than naps. And I don't understand whose idea it was to make the bad guy in the story the one who takes the nap. That feels like a personal attack to me. So the jury is still out on this one for me, but here we go. Though I haven't got the slightest idea why, a town sets up a made-for-TV foot race where the brashest, fastest critter around, the hare, will take on the slowest creature alive, your Uncle Dave, after his fourth helping at Thanksgiving. Uncle Dave, however, cancels at the last minute when he hears about a late-night two-for-one special at the local Waffle House, and the tortoise is plucked out of the crowd as a reasonably equivalent substitute. Nonetheless, the battle is soon on, and the hare bursts out of the starting gate like Secretariat. The tortoise, on the other hand, gets started more like the secretary at Cement World, if there was an incident involving some of the merchandise. "Slow and steady wins the race," the tortoise declares, ranking right up there with "I did not have sexual relations with that woman" on the list of the world's most ridiculous claims. In what seems like the blink of an eye, the hare is soon closing in on the finish line. But it's not enough for him to just win going away, so he decides to deliver a solid up yours to the tortoise by lying down and taking a nap in the road a few feet short of the checkered flag. The term nap, however, turns out to be a bit of an understatement. Either the hare was related to Rip Van Winkle or his hangover cure from the strip club visit wore off, because in about 10 seconds, he is out. Gone. Good night. While the hare snoozes the day away, the tortoise plods down the course at top speed, pausing only to watch some giant sequoias sprout up around him, various species fade into extinction, and Halley's Comet visit the Earth a couple of times. Technically, that does still make him faster than most LA traffic on the 405, but that's beside the point. Eventually, he cruises past the still-snoring hare and crosses the finish line as the winner, delighting the crowd members' great-grandchildren. He's thrilled by his victory and offers many more inspiring nuggets of wisdom to the youth of America, or at least we assume he will if he ever makes it over to the media center for his post-race press conference. The hare, on the other hand, might want to focus his efforts on getting an endorsement deal from Ambien. Robin Hood. We've got time for one more quick story before we wrap up this episode with something fun. Let's check in on Robin Hood. If you like people with a girl's name, a varied supply of tights, and a reputation for taking dough from the rich to give to the poor, then Nancy Pelosi is probably the congresswoman for you. Also, if you like those things, then Robin Hood is probably the medieval bandit for you. Robin hangs out in the beautiful Sherwood Forest with his group of merry men, including Little John, Friar Tuck, and Richard Simmons, plus their hottie housekeeper, Marion the Maid. The whole robbing the rich to give to the poor deal turns out to be a pretty useful company policy for them, mainly considering the fact that they were all poor. They spend their days stealing from the dastardly Prince John and outrunning the witless Sheriff of Nottingham, who may have been some sort of distant ancestor of Barney Fife. This goes on for a while until Prince John's brother, King Richard, finally returns from his long trip overseas to star in a Shakespearean play. King Dick puts Prince John back in his place, elevates Robin to hero status, and sells the movie rights to Disney on the condition that he'll be played by a lion, preferably Mufasa. All is well. All right, one more fun thing before we're done. We're going to fire up Rapunzel's Jukebox, which is where we find song parodies and snippets that hopefully will give you a good chuckle. A few years ago, you may remember the band Train came out with a song called 50 Ways to Say Goodbye. In it, a man who clearly has been dumped makes up a host of outlandish ways that his girlfriend died rather than simply admit that she's left him. It's a very catchy tune. You're definitely going to want to check out the video if you've never seen it because it features David Hasselhoff singing into an ear of corn. Today, though, we've reworked it into the 50 Ways to Say Goodbye fairy tale edition, featuring all of the ridiculous things that can go wrong in your life as a fairy tale character. So here comes the incomparable Andrew Mitchell from The Other Ship with the fairy tale version of Train's 50 Ways to Say Goodbye.
My life's a fairy tale, it might as well be jail. Disasters everywhere I turn. That tyrant Mother Goose, I wish she'd call a truce. She treats me like I'll never learn. That's cool, but why she's gotta try to kill me every page? Ate a poisonous apple, crashed in a pumpkin. My mom got shot by some old country bumpkin. Help me, how am I gonna survive? A finger prick made me sleepy, got stalked by a sheepy. Followed me, came to school, dude, that's just creepy. Help me, get through chapter 5. And make it out alive. Gagged on a porridge bowl, wolf ate my grandma whole. One-handed pirate wants me gone. He wants me gone. We all have awful luck, except that ugly duck. Don't ask me how he's now a swan. That's cool, but every night it's for survival that I break. Couldn't make gold from straw, cause I ain't Warren Buffett. Found a spider on my crappy purple tuffet. Help me, how am I gonna survive? Sold my voice to a sea witch, beast gave me trouble. Telling lies made my nose size double. Help me, get through chapter 5 and make it out alive. Wolf came up and huffed and puffed and blew. Paraded so I could show off my new clothes, but they were see-through. That's cool, but I get tired of almost croaking every day. That's cool, but I'd be safer off in 50 shades of gray. I got chased down a beanstalk, ditched in the deep woods. Got pissed when no one helped me make my baked goods. Help me, how am I gonna survive? I rode a fox across the water, it turned into a slaughter. Played croquet against a queen and almost fought her. Help me, get through chapter 5. Rub-a-dub in a hot tub, tumbled off a wall slide. Slept on peas and tossed and turned all night till I cried. Help me, how am I gonna survive? I got lapped by a tortoise, locked in a tower. Bet my hair really clogged that shower. Help me, all my friends and I, we're trying not to die.
A little Train parody from Rapunzel's Jukebox here on the Not Your Mother's Goose podcast. One more shout out to my friend Andrew Mitchell for the vocals there. Do me a favor and check out his band, The Othership. They've got an EP available on Spotify, and you can find them on Facebook and at theothership.com. That's going to do it for this episode, but come back next time as we'll check in on Bambi's battle with Elmer Fudd, learn the connection between Pinocchio and the Thigh Master, and get the latest on the Pumpkin Eater's divorce in the news. Thank you so much for listening. The Goose is Loose. I'll see you next time here on Not Your Mother's Goose.
You've been listening to a PodMany original production.
Thank you.
PodMany.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.